This is 90.9 FM WDCB, The Real Deal with Orbert Davis. And I am so excited, I'm giddy. Because this woman, I have admired her for so many years. She's been so instrumental, no pun intended, for so many careers. But if you think about education, the one word that coincides with Mary Jo Papish is passion. And so I'd like to welcome to Sitting In, the one and only Mary Jo Papish.
Thank you, Orbert. I'm the one that's blessed that you come into my path so many years ago and continue to inspire me with your music and your passion and your love for the arts.
Thank you. Well, let's briefly talk about, as an educator, did you start off in jazz or was it something that found you?
I grew up listening to a big brother play jazz trumpet, so I was inspired by that. I was the youngest of seven. My dad died when I was one.
Oh, wow.
And mom raised us all, never ever married again or anything. And I played trumpet because that's what we had. We had a trumpet. So that's what put me on trumpet. And so I got into it and got into jazz with high school and all that. But Orbert, I was never the player you were. I was never a super monster player.
I'm not the player I was.
But I knew I loved music, and I knew I loved people, and I found a theme in fifth grade I wrote that I wanted to be a music teacher, and I have never wavered from that. I always have known what I wanted to do.
So general music, pretty much starting off.
No, I really, I just did trumpet emphasis, waist minor, like singing, but I found jazz, not only loving jazz, but I found it as a way to recruit and retain students in my program in a rural school when I started. Then when I went to a little larger school and then on to Peoria, and then, as you know, in the suburbs, you meet kids where they are, and you do jazz arrangements of whatever they're listening to hook them, and then you start sliding in the standards and the good stuff, and wow, you hook them, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to talk about. But when I think about, well, as you say, locally, the things that you've done, but now you are making an international impact. And for the listeners who do not know, Mary Jo is the founder, one of the founders of the Jazz Education Network. What is, everyone's talking Jen. Who is Jen? What is Jen?
They use Jen all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting. And I started in 2010 with Dr. Lou Fisher, actually 2008. Our first conference was in 2010. But we're dedicated to serving the jazz arts community through advancing education, promoting performance, and enlarging our listening audience.
Okay, but when we say community, we're thinking about a little community center. Now, this is not just a...
No, it's the jazz arts community worldwide. We are now in 44 countries.
Oh, wow.
Of course, we've been in all the states for a long time, but 44 countries. And we are here in New Orleans tonight talking about this conference. It's our 11th one.
Wow.
And it's pretty exciting. We've got a lot of countries here. I've seen somebody from France, somebody from Turkey, somebody from Israel already. And we're hoping for, over 4,000 people.
That's amazing. Is it everything that you imagine?
And more.
And more.
Yeah. It's really going beautifully. And of course, I'd be amiss if I didn't talk about the former organization, just a second, of International Association for Jazz Education, that I'd served. And it had some problems and basically went under. And so we were like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yeah.
And so the first couple of years, you were on the board. First couple of years, it was a pretty rough struggling to, regain trust. And even though we're, a new group and we wanted to be our own unique stamp on the jazz world, and yet enlarge that jazz community and service the industry, the students, the pros. And it's really gone quite beautifully, and it's like a big family reunion when we all come together. And we even, we welcome the people we don't know. You won't hear any fighting or any arguments here this week.
That is amazing. Like the music itself.
It
brings people together. It's a universal language.
Yeah.
But still, when we think in terms of America and we say jazz, we're talking a small number, in terms of who really listens to jazz. So how do you create this environment that people feel that they are not only a part of it, but they are an agent for growth and change?
I think to be an agent for growth and change, we have to encourage young people to find their own voice and jazz, that we have to, we can be purists in the sense of appreciating the jazz giants, but we have to encourage young people to find their own unique voice so that jazz can keep evolving and keep adding to the large repertoire we already have. And I think we will gain much more by being inclusive rather than exclusive. You know, I personally hate a lot of labels. And so when people say, I don't like smooth jazz, or I don't like trad jazz, or I don't like, well, let's appreciate them all for what they are and what they're worth. And let's encourage the young players to just keep writing and keep creating. And, you know, we at the Jazz Education Network have a wonderful young composer showcase. And we have five winners from literally all over the world. Wow. And they're most of the time composition majors. But we have a competition, they're selected, and then they actually perform. We have a band here, usually a Navy band or a UNT or a college band, perform these. And then they're mentored by the judging panel of greats. And it's really a wonderful experience for them.
So it almost starts like you're trying to jumpstart their career.
That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
There's groups here this time I saw in the program. Socrates Garcia and his group, professional group now, and he was a winner of the composition showcase, and now he's here with his pro band.
That is amazing.
And an original, you know, CD. Okay. And so those things are really exciting. You think you're really making a difference when you do that. The other thing we have is we have a whole scholarship recipients. We give scholarship honors, and I had mentioned the showcase. It's a diverse group, too. So we give several scholarships, six scholarships. And
for university?
Yes, two high school, four university.
Oh, wow.
And
so it's always playing it forward.
Always. And then my favorites, we have the Sisters in Jazz Collegiate Combo Competition.
Yeah, tell us about Sisters in
Jazz.
Well,
that used to be with IJE, and then when it went under, it went dormant, and we resurrected it last year, and it was outstanding, and I've been down there listening, and the wonderful Tia Fuller on saxophone is the conductor, and they're quite fabulous, and they're going to be playing twice at the conference.
Oh, that's great.
So we offer, in fact, we're looking for a sponsor for them right now.
Oh, wow.
Because we obviously don't want these kids to pay for their way. We have to pay their way and their meals and for the conductor and let them have, again, this experience that jump starts. I mean, Anat Cohen was a member of this. Ingrid Jensen was a member of this. A handful that have done this and have gone on to be so very successful.
Okay. Tell us about either an aha moment, something that through the years just gave you the most goosebumps or brought tears to your eyes.
Oh, gosh, Orbert.
I know. That's three different categories.
Off
it could be
cuff.
Three different things.
Okay, I'll take them and you can ask me what I didn't say. You know, aha moments happen every day when you're working with kids, right?
Yeah.
And even though I'm semi-retired, I'll call myself, in Peoria, I still go into the public schools and work in a group I started 27 years ago, Peoria Jazz All-Stars, that had some great success, and Greg Ward, Breonna Thomas, Doug Stone, those kids were in that group, and more, and but we did Umbria and Montreux and all those. So those are musical aha moments that are memorable, and I remember playing right here in New Orleans in the city convention center before Katrina, and we went in to rehearse, and there's a lot of chairs, but I thought, no, you know. And so we rehearsed a little bit, and there was a curtain, and we went back to get ready, and kids go out, and we play an opener. I grab the mic and say who we are, you know. And we were literally, the applause, I could not, it was a National School Board Association convention, and there were 17,000 people there. I was expecting, you know, going crazy, and they were giving a standing ovation on the second song. So musically, that was a aha, you know, really memorable time. And I remember the president coming out and saying, well, you're going to go back home and they're going to say, oh, you were in New Orleans, you heard some good music. And he said, and you're going to tell them, yes, and they were from Peoria, Illinois. So those are kind of cool moments. Great. But the aha moments educationally are, you know, everything from a beginner getting that wonderful sound when you're teaching them to kids. I love to see and feel in the groove kids externalizing the beat. Kids not bored and esoteric and sitting there playing their music, but you always teach them, if you can show me you have the beat somewhere on your body, then I know that you're with me. And I want you to enjoy the music, and I want you to, the people to enjoy the, watching you enjoy the music. Yes. And we're here to have fun. I think that's the end result. And it's many aha moments. Wow. Many.
Are you having fun?
I'm having fun. I'm having a wonderful time. I just released a book that I edited.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably going to ask me about that, right?
I'm definitely going to ask you about that.
So that's been the latest, you know, high buzz, like, oh, wow, this is cool. But I was going to...
I heard it sold out recently.
It did. We were at the Midwest Clinic and the McCormick Place at an 8:30 in the morning
Chicago
clinic, thinking, oh, God, they're not going to get up to see us. Might have a handful, and it was over 300 people, standing room only. Exciting. We followed us for a book signing, and they literally kept going for 2 hours. And, you know, Roosevelt Griffin, one of your colleagues and mentees, he's just an amazing educator that I connected with through you years ago and have followed him. And he's been active on the Gen Education Committee and all. You know, and he talks, and he and I agree a lot philosophically, and I've always been soul family here. And and how the, you know, we spend 50% of our time teaching off the bandstand when you're with kids, when you're influencing them, when you're, you know, listening to what they want and meeting them halfway. And you can't fool kids. And if they know that you respect them, then that is usually returned, you know.
That's it. And you know what's interesting is I've often told Roosevelt years ago that he has to find a way to institutionalize his methodology. And what I see in you is the institutionalizing of the methodology.
He is. Yeah. You know, he was so busy. And I said, no, I want you in this book because I want you as our featured middle school specialist, you know. And I said, why don't you let me just ask you questions like you're doing now. And I'll record it and I'll transcribe it and then put it together in a pretty readable fashion. Well, and so I did that with... John Clayton, I did it with Gordon Goodwin, Caleb Chapman. They just hardly had time, and yet I said, no, it's important that we literally have your voice in this. And so this name of the book, which is available on Amazon, is, which is the bestseller for band directors 24 hours after that, Rehearsing the Jazz Band. And there's actually five volumes of Rehearsing the Concert Band. So Gar Whaley of Meredith Publishing, who distributes through Hal Leonard Music, wrote me and said, five volumes and none for jazz. What do you think? And I said, wow, I think we better fix that.
Yeah, and I can think of no other person to do that but you.
Well, thank you, but my only advantage is that they don't say no to me very easily. So
well, that's what I mean.
so I got that's them. Awesome. I got, you know, Roxanne Stevenson from Chicago State. And Jose Diaz from Houston, and Tony Garcia, and just a handful. Steve Wiest, who played with Maynard, and just some stellar educators, players that...
all your babies.
It's just fun. It's just fun. And yes, you are right. It's documented now. And I don't care if the person is a beginning jazz band director or an advanced pro, they're going to find a little something for everybody. And you know, some of these guys have such a sense of humor that it's worth buying the book just to read and laugh that it's such a good time.
That's awesome.
Steve Wiest's jazz lingo is amazing. And, you know, I had to send it to the editor, and they called me and they, we got to change this. We got to change that. And I went, no, we're not changing anything. No, we are not changing that. That's a pun. If you were in the jazz world, you would know that that's the lingo we use. And So the novice is going to even pick up a little of that.
Well, that's good. Awesome. So the book is called Rehearsing the Jazz Band, includes suggested jazz charts from each author. That's part of the title.
Yes.
And so it's published by Meredith.
And distributed by Hal Leonard.
That's awesome. And we'll buy it at our local music store first.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, Mary Jo, thank you so much for this brief conversation. I need two promises. The first is we have to do it again.
Yes.
The second is you got to go to Cuba with me one day.
I would love to go to Cuba. I'm working on my Spanish right now because I run a little jazz fest in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh,
but I would love to go to Cuba.
Let's do that.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
And we have to get you in Peoria. And, you know, Orbert, I'm one of your disciples, literally.
Oh, come on.
You know, everything you do from your wonderful Chicago Jazz Philharmonic to your compositions, to your playing, to your heart and soul of life. You know, life is improvisation, and we use all those creative skills, and those all lead to problem solving. And
that's right.
And we need that in the world today. So let's just keep improving and problem solving.
All right. Thank you, Mary Jo.
My pleasure.
This is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. And in the spirit of Mary Jo Pavich, let's continue with someone she just mentioned as the director of Women in Jazz, part of the Jazz Education Network. Here's saxophonist Tia Fuller with Fury of Demand. Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing musician. Pianist Joe Sample with The Invitation. Let's continue with Steve Croon. This is a pretty cool composition called In Your Dreams. Check this out. This is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. Hope you got a chance to check out that amazing conversation with my good friend Mary Jo Papich. Well, that was John Patton with Village Lee. Before John, an amazing front line of alto saxophonists, Vincent Herring, Bobby Watson, and Gary Bartz. Bird Lives, that's right, tribute to the one and only Charlie Parker. How about some Chicago musicians now? Yeah, my favorite. What an amazing trio. Howard Levy on piano and harmonica, Larry Gray on bass, and my good buddy Ernie Adams on drums. This is called Corino.
Thank you.
the one and only Dr. Michael White, amazing clarinet player, taking us to New Orleans with Panama. Well, hope you had a good time this hour. I sure did, as you could tell. I've known Mary Jo Papich for quite a while now, and every time I see her, she lightens up the room, and I think you heard why. Great vision, great passion for kids. Mm. Well, we have one more hour to go before I let you go. So don't go too far. I'm going to get up and stretch a bit, and I'll be right back.